Discourse 20, September 8, 1932, Saint Germain. Invocation. O Thou Almighty, Majestic Presence, Infinite Creator of all there is, Thou Dispenser of life to all form, Thou Great Giver of intelligence and activity to all form, we give praise and thanks eternally for thy ever-manifesting presence perfecting all creation and drawing it again into the perfection of thy mighty self. Infinite is thy intelligence. Infinite is thy strength and omnipresent activity. Let the children of men feel and know this for a certainty, that they may open the door of their consciousness and receive thy mighty strength of life, intelligence, and health, manifesting thy perfection now. Greetings from the Silent Watcher and from the Great Arisen Host to you all. The Discourse. As we recognize the mighty messengers of God and their continual pouring forth of that supreme essence and energy, so do we know there is but one process by which they pour this forth, and that is thought. Thought is one of the mightiest means of creation, and as it creates the smallest thing, so does it create the greatest. This will illustrate how necessary it is that mankind should govern their thought and feeling. Thus they would govern all outer activity in harmonious production. As we contemplate the use of thought, finding that it will create the simplest thing, then we must know that it will create all things. When it does not seem to do so, it is because unknown there is lurking doubt or fear. All sincere students should analyze their thinking consciously and see if there is doubt or fear or anything negative. If there is, find out what it is and then proceed to eradicate it from the consciousness at once. As students of a mighty truth, if we have become aware of the slightest fundamental principles of life, then we have learned that our thought, when held on the awareness of God's acting presence, creates constructively with a majestic dominion. It is so unwise for one of God's children to sit in judgment upon another, for to do so means that we are not exercising the full confidence in the mighty presence of God anchored in the heart of every one of his creations. For each one to talk to the mighty presence in the other, asking it to perform and manifest its great perfection in all outer activity, would be the ideal way and the correct usage of our thought, and would bring forth greater results than the outer can possibly comprehend. To Mrs. Ballard, I have just arrived from a very definite association with France. The French are one of the nationalities to which I have dealt out the strongest force, yet I am not a Frenchman. The world is my home. To create good is my religion. After we raised the body, we have forgotten there is nationality or personality. Nationality represents to a nation what personality does to the individuality. We but see where the great light is needed most and endeavor to radiate it there, if not through speech, then through thought that carries the mighty radiance to its destination. If students will not take the necessary time to be still and feel the great God presence filling their minds and bodies, then they have no one but themselves to blame if they do not receive as much of the God presence as they desire. The student having free will through determination will always have whatever time is needed to still the outer and receive the majestic splendor of that mighty inner presence. If one who has been physically laboring feels the necessity of rest, that one should first sit in a comfortable position and, entering into the joyous recognition of God's mighty energy, feel it flowing through his or her mind and body like a mighty cleansing stream. If the students would practice this simple exercise daily, they would shortly come to the place where they could call forth a mighty stream, so that in 3 to 5 minutes they would feel entirely refreshed. The assertion may sound absurd to you, but I assure you the sense of growing tired from outer activity is but a lack of joy in the thing you are doing. It may be something from a racial thought or something from an inharmonious condition in the individual. Knowing the body of itself cannot grow tired, then we know the sense of being tired is a lack of joy or harmony in the consciousness somewhere. Naturally, then, the first thing to do would be to still the outer and feel that mighty joy and peace filling the mind and body full to overflowing, just like you would see a pail of water full to overflowing, and that radiation would spread to those who need it. The first requisite to the use of exhaustless energy is a continuous, happy, harmonious state of consciousness. Most individuals have a mistaken idea that this mighty energy of God is something they have to pump into activity or pull out from somewhere. But I assure you, it is likened unto an artesian well. When you have struck the level of the water, it requires no coaxing to rush to the surface in a continuous stream. So it is when we enter deep enough into the consciousness of the mighty presence of God. We tap that mighty fountain of energy, and we do not have to coax it at all. It rushes forth like water bursting through a dam, and we may direct it wheresoever we will, for that is our divine birthright and privilege. Desire. It seems necessary again to put forth the mighty consciousness that desire is the mighty activity of God, the motive power, as it were, by which the wings of thought carry it forth into productivity. There cannot, I assure you, be a single thing from the lowest to the highest without desire back of it, for desire is the power of the soul trying to find expression. There are those who will tell you they have many wrong desires, but I assure you it is only because of a lack of control of the free will. Any full-grown human being knows the difference between letting the energy go out into constructive or destructive channels, and therefore can easily choose where it shall go. It is so vitally important for the student to have the correct understanding about desire. So much has been said, and falsely, about the supreme ideal being to kill out desire. To do so would be but to come into a state of apathy, where you would open yourselves to all the destructive forces there are. When you have a constructive desire backed by its twin sister determination, knowing that each is but an attribute of God in action, that moment you have loosed the mightiest power for and of achievement. Every experience that comes to the individual serves a double purpose. First, to turn the attention to the only creative source, God. Second, to make the individual aware that resting in that supreme consciousness is the solution, instantly at hand, of whatever needs to be known. We do not receive it by throwing up our hands and screaming for help, but by taking the opposite stand and becoming so still and quiet in the outer that there is not a ripple of disturbance upon our consciousness. Then we will quickly find a solution to whatsoever is required. In understanding the mighty power of creative thought, and thought is always creating one thing or another, one cannot help but at once feel a great freedom, for no one can prevent us thinking what we will. In the sincere recognition of the great intelligent God-self, we remove the possibility or power of the outer self of anyone to say or do anything that would be disturbing to us. For so long as we are resting in this supreme presence, its mighty radiance or energy is constantly carrying with it the consuming power of all outer disturbance. It is only when we allow the attention to begin to be held on an expression of the outer that we give it power to disturb us, to instantly take the stand that there is no personality, there is only God in action, would prevent the stinger of ignorance from finding a landing place. Ignorance, like a hornet, always wants to use its stinger, but does not know where to find a landing spot unless you disturb its nest. And no one will knowingly do that if he knows the nature of a hornet. Divine love is the original nature within every human being. Inharmonious feeling or activity is but misapplied energy trying to gain something by force, which it can only have permanently through kindly, harmonious action. Love. If individuals could only recognize that God's love is the natural motive power of their being, they would see at once how their attempt to use energy not qualified by this mighty power of divine love must necessarily bring them just the opposite results from those which they wish. Therefore, let all sincerely open the doorway into all expression, into all activity, and we will find our world transformed and moving within an armor of protection where only light, peace, and harmony reign. The first simple essential to the constant use of the mighty constructive energy is to determine to move within the sacred, charmed radiance of your mighty God presence. We have often seen through many lesser experiences that we can do what we are sufficiently determined to do. In the determination to use the constructive power which is God in action, then we have loosed the mightiest power in the universe to act in our behalf. The moment we become conscious of God's energy, we set it into motion. In its infinite state, it is static. Consciously directed, it is dynamic. This is the reason for the demand for the conscious use of understanding. This is the subtle point where individuals fall into a state of apathy, and it should be avoided as you would a poisonous serpent. The silent watcher. The radiation of the silent watcher takes on the quality that is needed at the point to which it is sent. To Mrs. Ballard, let me assure you, you have accomplished a wonderful thing in receiving these words to the song The Silent Watcher. It has drawn his current of mighty creative power, and he will use as his messengers the gracious cherubim and deva. For the classwork, the Silent Watcher pours his radiation direct. His radiation at the home of your friend was both consuming and energizing. The divine flame. To some natures, the sense of warmth is disastrous to keeping awake. The mentality should become alert and awake with very great vividness as the consciousness is held more and more on the divine flame. Do not let the seeming lack of anything find a resting place in your consciousness. Take your stand that you are free right now and feel it. When we love God enough, it causes us to enter into the presence sufficiently so that whatever we wish is forthcoming. The most important service, the first and most important service of every human being, should be his or her devotion to the great light. The reason there are so many more masculine than feminine masters in the physical octave is because it is very much more difficult for the feminine to shut out the ever-present sense of curiosity, which comes from the fact that they constantly live more in the feeling element. Therefore, it requires a much firmer hand and much greater determination to govern that than what the masculine has to contend with. This, however, must be completely governed by the feminine element before real permanent progress will bless their efforts. Occasionally, there is one using a feminine body who, although delicate and refined, possesses enough of the positive masculine consciousness to govern the otherwise uncontrolled feeling. These individuals become great feminine masters, and it is worth all the effort anyone using the feminine form can make to attain it. Before 15 years have passed, you will find the world smaller than ever. Television and the right aerial transportation will make the world like a great audience chamber. It is much nearer than most people suspect. Things are steadily progressing. There are at least 40% more settled, normal conditions in the business world than 6 months ago. That is a very great gain. The price of things will be maintained at a much more normal balance. The stock market is a disgrace to humanity when in it one man who wants revenge against another has a certain means of gratifying it. The entire system of everything will be changed in such a manner that individuals will be protected, and the selfish element of the big fish wanting to swallow up the little ones will have made them so sick that they will not wish to try it again. I would suggest that you keep up the sending of peace and freedom to all humanity, for where there are sincere individuals, it can be utilized to very great advantage. You cannot come into contact with the radiation of these great ones and not have these things manifest. Benediction. Thou mighty presence, O silent watcher, we give praise and thanks for thy mighty radiation, for the light and wisdom flowing forth like rays, a mighty river reaching out and enfolding all who are sincerely reaching to the light, making them thy center of radiation. Strengthen thy great and loving messengers to go forth, conquering victoriously in the spreading of the great light to mankind. Draw to them those who can give them great light, and the students who can receive that light. Thy love enfolds, and thy peace sustains all mankind forever. Discourse 21, September 12, 1932, Saint Germain. Invocation. O mighty presence, we give praise and thanks and rejoice in thy mighty radiant presence, that thou hast come forth to clothe America in thy mighty radiant presence and shed thy splendor o'er humanity. We rejoice that the cycles of time have moved forward, and this has enabled thee to come forth from the secret chamber in the temple of light. Mighty One, in the majesty of thy splendor, peace, and power, look into the hearts of those who sincerely look to the light. Strengthen them. Give them courage. Enable them through thee, mighty God within, to hasten and come forth and be the messengers of the mighty God light. Speak to the hearts of the children of light. Strengthen them to stand and be sustained in thy great splendor. I bring you greetings from the great angelic being who has been caused to look upon this humble effort to give forth light, and who extends personal greetings to you all. The Discourse. With the entrance of each great cycle, there come certain presiding beings of great import. You will know this presence as a being of great majesty, power, and light, through whom, at the height of all civilizations, has come the power of precipitation of jewels of all kinds and of liquid gold. This presence represents the all-seeing eye to the earth. Your request to know more of the great beings has been granted. It was through the action of this great being, and one from the Jade Temple, whom you shall later know, that there was cause to come into form the jade of Abor. Another such twin of the great jade will appear in America. It will be publicly known of at a later period. This entirely depends upon humanity, how soon they will turn and where to the great light. Beloved children of the light, fix firmly in your minds, all of you, fix within your consciousness that the mighty presence of God in and about you is the only intelligence, presence, and power governing the universe. With this staunch, firm recognition and adherence to the great light, there is no height you may not reach, no great service you may not render through this great acknowledgement. It is your right to command and compel the outer to accept the full significance and magnificence of this great opportunity. You have reached a point where you can compel the outer obedience to the great light. And at this time, I say for the benefit of all students who will take their stand and determine to serve the great light to the fullest of their ability, that they will receive a mighty sustaining power, aside from their own effort, to hold themselves steady in the great light. It is so foolish and childish for anyone who is sincerely interested in serving the light to say that he cannot control his thought, feeling, and spoken word. For where the sincere effort is maintained, the greatest assistance is sure to be given. I congratulate you most sincerely in having drawn the radiance and attention that is now and will henceforth be continuously manifest to you. It is important to compel the feeling to accept the great truth of this, that it may not at any time waver and wonder how this majestic truth can be true. The accumulated good of centuries of effort is being stirred into activity in many sincere individuals who are determined to serve the light. The words "I can't" or "have not" are to be forever wiped out of the vocabulary of the earnest students of the light. When they once know the mighty living presence of God is the life energy flowing through their minds and bodies, they must know that there is no longer any excuse for the use of such words. These words are simply concoctions of the outer human self to try to justify itself when, by its own acts, it has shut the door of light to itself and its world. Having arrived at the full stature of manhood in Christ, we should be able to put away all childishness of doubts and fears and leap into the arms of that majestic conquering presence in the life of every individual and accept its full manifesting presence. The unwavering acceptance of the limitless presence and activity of God, manifest in your outer experience, is the miracle-working power and has long been waiting to pour forth its great abundance into your youth. All human doubts and fears are fast being consumed and eliminated, and that makes it possible for this great inner abundance to rush forth like a mighty stream, bearing in its embrace the fullness of the God presence into your use and experience. Consciously give full power to this feeling with all the joy at your command. How true and wonderful it is now in my life and world. This is an illustration of what tremendous things can be done and what it means where one will make the sincere effort to maintain peace and harmony in the consciousness. If each of these individuals can and will feel the full import of this great truth, marvels can take place in their experience and will take place with this full acceptance. This is not a wish to intrude anything upon the free will of the individual, but is a statement of facts and the eternal truth concerning these higher manifestations. When we find that there are those children of God who will accept, in confidence, small trusts, then in time they will find themselves recipients of great and mighty trusts. No one knows his or her strength until sacred trusts are given into his or her keeping. Liquid gold. Liquid gold is sometimes precipitated for its emanation in healing. It is very like quicksilver, only of gold, and its structure is very similar. As a rule, in contacting this denser vibratory action, it always contains a shade of jade green. In its higher activity, the green is hardly perceptible, and in this state it takes on a shade of light rose in place of the green. Whenever intense raising activity takes place, there is always this observation, yet rarely is the individual conscious of it. I trust you can, each of you, feel this wonderful radiation about you, filling you with this joyous feeling and adoration of that great light. Try to feel yourselves a great fountain of it, pouring forth all the time, knowing that there is but the one mighty intelligence, presence, and power of God acting through your mind and body. I rejoice that I am free, forever free, from every limitation of the outer world. Use for pain in the head. This thing is nothing. Therefore there is nothing in me that can accept it. I know there is only the mighty presence of God acting in my mind and body. Therefore in God's activity there is no pain or disturbance. Many times, if you begin to contemplate a source, something causing a disturbance, it gives it power. Sometimes it is necessary to know, but now we must take the stand not to accept anything of the negative. Give it no attention, therefore no power. The attention sometimes gives a thing power that we are not aware of. Lest one fall into a mistaken attitude, if there seems any unusual activity at any time, take the consciousness, all of God's activity within my mind and body is perfectly natural and normal. This balances the outer and avoids the misinterpretation of that which is really a blessing into becoming a disturbance. Use this often. There is only God in action in my mind and body. If there is a wrong thought about an experience, you neutralize or requalify it, and thus you lose its blessing. In all of God's activity in the raising process, it is impossible for it to contain any disturbing element unless the outer mind misinterprets it and requalifies it as a disturbance. Remember, to avoid this, one should at all times, in feeling an unusual vibration within the mind or body, take this attitude about it. How beautiful and glorious this feeling is, for I know it is God's great presence at work within me. When you begin to consciously use this energy of God within you, you are qualifying it in some manner all the time. So it behooves the student to awaken to the fact that he cannot take anything for granted, for he is supposed to qualify whatever passes through the consciousness. This is why we suggested some time ago the use of a mighty truth: there is no personality, there is only God in action. At that time, we did not think it wise to give this explanation. Question by Mrs. Ballard. The idea conveyed by mythology that there were at one time on this earth any such beings as the Cyclops is a mistake, is it not? Saint Germain. At no time have there ever been beings with the Spirit of God within them, with but a single eye? Such an idea was a distorted view concerning the former state of those beings, who still retained the full function of the third eye, or inner sight, like the X-ray. The all-seeing eye is the right conception of this state. There was a time when those which are known today as the pineal gland and pituitary body were one. They were the all-seeing eye. The skull or brain structure, which was of a denser substance, was in no wise any obstruction to the use and activity of this inner eye that really looks in all directions. To the all-seeing eye, no form is an obstruction to the vision. At all times, the all-seeing eye has the form of an eye as you know it today. The greatly dimmed activity of that function, even today, causes you to sense a presence behind you, as well as ahead of you. At this previous time, as the soul drew into denser form, it required the activity of an arc, as it were, by which the two activities in conjunction step down the activity of this inner vision. This sparking broke the image of the vision, the same as an arc breaks up the current, and instead of a steady flow, it was in intermittent jumps. This causes the present intermittent activity. This became necessary as the outer form reached a certain density, not wise to explain at present. If there could be a continual flow or connection of light between the pituitary body and the pineal gland, we could see everywhere and through all things at all times. This is really the inner sight. This would be the same activity as when they were one, or in other words, unite them into their oneness again. When one can visualize the two as the all-seeing eye within, wonders might take place. The child with the X-ray eyes. In this case, the pulsation between the pineal gland and the pituitary body has become so frequent that the flow is almost continuous. In all forms where the power of the all-seeing eye is used, the shape of the human eye is retained as we have it today. In any thought of this, think of it always as the all-seeing eye, complete, in the top of the head, taking the place of the pineal gland and pituitary body, or as having these two organs within it. In this eye within is the perfect eternal sight of Almighty God. A mental picture of anything with this power back of it must be propelled into outer form because it is God power moving through it. This is how the images we see with our physical eyes are registered on the brain. Therefore, make your pictures within. Your eyes are the camera of the soul. The activity of the vision in the mind acts just the opposite of the activity of the eyes or physical sight. The secret of manifesting things into the world without is in using the spiritual power to take this picture. Then the great silence precipitates it into form through the visualized picture. Through the activity of visualizing, you print the form or picture upon the great silence, and the great silence, which is the greatest power in the universe, propels it into outer expression and experience. Now you can understand how impossible it is for a picture registered on the inner silence not to come forth. It is the business of the intellect and will to hold the picture steady until the impression is taken by the great silence. If it is not held steady, the result is the same as if you moved your camera while taking an outer picture in ordinary photography. This is the power of true precipitation. You do have all power within your consciousness to mold your mind and body or any of its parts or attributes, into anything you wish. Meditate on this incessantly. Contemplate this matter of vision often enough to set it in mind, in action, and use it. This release of truth and conviction is tremendous. Never forget it. Use it more and more all the time. This is the inner power that knows its own and is waiting to do these things for you all the time. A tremendous power has been generated here today. This conviction you now have, you can use with great power. Warning. After I have given the explanation of the law, and you have received the inner power and conviction, do not discuss it, for you scatter the power which would accomplish the full manifestation. You have the vision, the power, and the ability to apply this. Now do it. The power of precipitation is one of the mightiest activities of this wonderful presence who is radiating to you today. You have been shown how precipitation through vision takes place. Use great presence. Completely and entirely reveal this activity of visualization and precipitation into physical form to me now. Teach me all about this, and see that I always use it to fulfill the divine plan, to the glory of God, and the blessing and service of all His creation. Benediction. Thou mighty presence, we leap forth to Thee in great devotion and recognition of Thy presence with us. We know, feel, and have the full conviction of Thy presence eternally with us, and that Thou wilt teach us the fullness of Thy activity manifest in form. Discourse 22, September 15, 1932. Saint Germain. Invocation. Thou beauteous, overshadowing presence, as thou hast come from the secret channel, wilt thou touch that secret place in the soul, in the heart of each of God's children? Strengthen, encourage, and lift them into the embrace of their own God self within, who through the centuries in infinite patience has watched over them, sustaining the outer form, which is gaining its great freedom from personal limitation. We give praise and thanks for Thy overshadowing presence in America, governing everyone on its surface and holding Thy children in its embrace, making each one Thy great messenger to heal, to prosper their own world and America. O Thou precious jewel on the brow of the great God presence, may Thy scintillating prismatic colors shine forth like the mighty rainbow of promise in the sky, filling the children of men, causing them to stand to the light eternally and be bathed in Thy lifting radiance. Greetings from the great host, from the great radiant presence Cyclopea, watching in His mighty transcendent power, lightening the burdens that otherwise would rest upon some of the children of men in the coming readjustment of things. The Discourse. Oh, that individuals might center within and feel that great presence, the giver, the preserver, the solver of all things, that they might consciously anchor within that great presence with such certainty and assurance that doubts and fears could not beset them. Enable them to steadily rise in that great eternal victory which must sometime somewhere be accomplished. I thank you exceedingly for the two pieces of music that are most useful to us for the attunement to the great height and for America whom we wish to bless. I would be pleased if those who are in complete harmony with you would hold that the individual who can best serve the Christ alone will be made president of the nation. As this work goes forward, we wish each individual to feel his or her part in the great victorious activity, that they are as important to the working out of things in the universe as the petals of a rose are to its beauty. There is constant opportunity for those who have a joyous attitude toward this effort to be channels of outpouring of this mighty radiation. The student who is sincere and is with great intensity reaching out to the light need never worry about making direct contact with the ascended masters, for it is not the student alone who seeks the master, but truly the master who seeks the student, because there is always great need of messengers of the great host of light who are staunch, trustworthy, and willing to serve. Such may never doubt for one moment their eventual contact with the visible presence of that great ascended host, not only with one, but many. We have no desire to intrude this work, which we know to be a mighty truth, upon anyone. And anyone who cannot feel within the heart the truth that we give forth to strengthen and to cast out doubt and fear should either wait or seek other channels with which they can feel perfect accord and harmony. This work shall go forward without interruption or interference, and as a mighty magnet will draw to itself its own. No one can go beyond the point where their understanding carries them. Our only desire is to bless, to strengthen, to enlighten all who come within this radiation. We seek no one who does not come with a joyous willingness to put aside all personal things and rejoice in the great activity of the mighty inner presence of God, of which we are but the messengers. Those whom we contact through the radiation are always free, and they alone must choose whom they shall serve. How strange it is that enlightened students will discuss individuals and activities of the truth and allow doubts and fears to beset them, which sooner or later make a barrier between them and the great beauty of the light they might so graciously enjoy. We, or our messengers, have no thought or feeling of criticism toward the individual who cannot come with us. And to all such, we give our great love and blessing. But this work we are doing must stand free from criticism, fear, and doubt, in order that what we are accomplishing may be done with the least outlay of energy and without unnecessary strain upon our messengers. Students, through the drawing power of the outer, allow themselves to discuss this presentation of the truth with those who know nothing about it, many times causing an obstruction to their own beautiful acceptance of this expression of the light. Each should know for the other that there is only the mighty presence of God in action in each one, in their speech, thought, and action. Then they would avoid the subtle pitfalls that are but breeders of disturbance. God in them, show them the light unerringly. You might also know concerning the political activity that God's mighty love governs every channel of activity in this coming election, and God's mighty presence silences all outer action and expression, allowing the truth to manifest in its fullness. Cyclopea especially wishes to utilize it as the outpouring of that mighty radiance to America and to her people. Calmly and silently know that the mighty radiance is spread over the entire country, touching all hearts and raising them into the receptivity of that mighty radiance. There has been an attempt to turn the tide against justice, and we trust this will prevent it. benediction. We give praise and thanks for the endless stream of dazzling light enfolding this activity and each individual in it. This radiance goes out to those who are looking to this presentation for the light, and we enfold in that great intelligence all who can receive it.